Hermione took the glass jar back from Ron and smiled at the beetle, which buzzed angrily against the glass.
"I've told her I'll let her out when we get back to London," said Hermione. "I've put an unbreakable charm on the jar, you see, so she can't transform. And I've told her she's to keep her quill to herself for a whole year, see if she can't break the habit of writing horrible lies about people."
Smiling serenely, Hermione placed the beetle back inside her school bag. The door of the compartment slid open.
"Very clever, Granger," said Draco Malfoy.
Crabbe and Goyle were standing behind him. All three of them looked more pleased with themselves, more arrogant and more menacing than Harry had ever seen them.
"So," said Malfoy slowly, advancing slightly into the compartment and looking slowly around at them, a smirk quivering on his lips. "You caught some pathetic reporter and Potter's Dumbledore's favourite boy again. Big deal."
His smirk widened. Crabbe and Goyle leered.
"Trying not to think about it, are we?" said Malfoy softly, looking around at all three of them. "Trying to pretend it hasn't happened."
"Get out," said Harry.
He had not been this close to Malfoy since he had watched him muttering to Crabbe and Goyle during Dumbledore's speech about Cedric. He could feel a kind of ringing in his ears. His hand gripped his wand under his robes.
"You've picked the losing side, Potter. I warned you. I told you you ought to choose your company more carefully, remember? When we met on the train first day at Hogwarts, I told you not to hang around with riffraff like this."
He jerked his head at Ron and Hermione.
"Too late now, Potter. They'll be the first to go, now the Dark Lord's back. Mudbloods and muggle lovers first. Well, second. Diggory was the f—"
It was as though someone had exploded a box of fireworks within the compartment. Blinded by the blaze of the spells that had blasted from every direction, deafened by a series of bangs, Harry blinked and looked down at the floor. Malfoy, Crabbe and Goyle were all lying unconscious in the doorway. He, Ron and Hermione were on their feet, all three of them having used a different hex. Nor were they the only ones to have done so.
"Thought we'd see what those three were up to," said Fred,
matter-of-factly, stepping onto Goyle and into the compartment. He had his wand out, and so did George, who was careful to tread on Malfoy as he followed Fred inside.
"Interesting effect," said George, looking down at Crabbe. "Who used the furnunculus curse?"
"Me," said Harry.
"Odd," said George lightly. "I used jelly legs."
"Looks as though those two shouldn't be mixed. He seems to have sprouted little tentacles all over his face."
"Well, let's not leave them here. They don't add much to the decor."
Ron, Harry and George kicked, rolled and pushed the unconscious Malfoy, Crabbe and Goyle, each of whom looked distinctly the worse for the jumble of jinxes with which they had been hit, out into the corridor, then came back into the compartment and rolled the door shut.
"Exploding snap, anyone?"
said Fred, pulling out a pack of cards. They were halfway through their fifth game when Harry decided to ask them.
"You going to tell us then," he said to George, "who you were blackmailing?"
"Oh," said George darkly, "that."
"It doesn't matter," said Fred, shaking his head impatiently. "It wasn't anything important. Not now, anyway."
"We've given up," said George, shrugging.
But Harry, Ron and Hermione kept on asking, and finally Fred said,
All right, if you really want to know..."
It was Ludo Bagman.
"Bagman?" said Harry sharply. "Are you saying he was involved in—"
"Nah," said George gloomily. "Nothing like that, stupid git. He wouldn't have the brains."
"Well, what then?" said Ron.
Fred hesitated, then said,
"You remember that bet we had with him at the Quidditch World Cup about how Ireland would win but Crumb would get the snitch?"
"Yeah," said Harry and Ron slowly.
"Well, the git paid us in leprechaun gold he'd caught from the Irish mascots."
"So?"
"So," said Fred impatiently, "it vanished, didn't it? By next morning, it had gone."
"But it must have been an accident, mustn't it?"
said Hermione,